It was on April 30th. I remember the date very well. It was on April 30th of 2017 that my wife, Erica, and I signed papers. We signed the agreement, or we signed the contract that meant MidCurrent was an official, a legal, a legit, and brand spanking new church right here in Hudson, Wisconsin. And at that moment, I think our total church membership, right at this moment right here, if you counted everybody who said, hey, I'm in for this, I think our total church membership at this moment was, it was two of us. And you're looking at them both right on the screen right there. Our highest church attendance at that moment, that's a whole nother story, right? If you counted the number of people who had ever been a part of something that had to do with MidCurrent at that point, highest attendance, I think that hit as high as like, four people, I think. We got a picture of that crew right there. It's all four of us, right? Record attendance right there in the early days of MidCurrent. See, when MidCurrent Church first began, and actually long before that it ever began, it was really just an idea. This all was just an idea. It was just a vision of ours to you know, give life to a church that looked and that talked and that organized and that prepared and planned and opened its doors a little bit differently than the kind of church that most people had experienced before. And it wasn't that this area needed just another church, right? But the feeling was perhaps it needed a different kind of church, right? The front page of our website even says that very plainly. Does the St. Croix Valley really need another church? And the honest answer, if I'm being really honest with you about that, the honest answer is no, it doesn't. Hudson alone has like 25 plus churches, but what we felt like this community did need, like so many communities, I should say. What we felt like this community did need, like so many communities today, was a different kind of church. And it wasn't because, it wasn't because the kind of church that most had experienced before was, you know, was wrong, or it's not that it was always bad, or it's not that it wasn't biblical, or it's not that people weren't well-intentioned. It's just that as Erica and I got older, and as we, you know, moved, you know, and lived in more places and lived in new places, and as we met more people, and as we started working in various churches and doing ministry together, we just started to realize that it wasn't the norm any longer, that people had a good experience in church, or that they had any experience in church, or that they were interested in some kind of experience in church. We started to realize more and more that the norm today, what we experienced more often, was that more people just weren't as open to church as they once were. And that was too bad, because we felt like the hope of the world was found in the local church. We felt like the local church was the hope of the world. And so we wanted to create a meaningful church experience with those very people in mind, people that maybe just weren't as open to church as they once were. Right, we wanted to create a church with those very people at the forefront of everything we did, at the forefront of every decision that we made, every environment that we created, every song that we sang, every prayer that we prayed, every message that we delivered. And it didn't mean that we felt like, it didn't mean that we had to change what we believed. It didn't mean we had to water things down. Some people hear so much, oh, it's just, you just water it down. You just, no, we didn't believe we needed to change anything about what we believed or water anything down. It just meant that we had to think differently. We had to work a little bit differently and work a little bit harder and think a little bit harder about the methods that we used to do all the things that we wanted to do. See, I've long believed, ever since I've been kind of putting my hand at this this pastoral thing and this church thing, I have long believed that if we can't create a church that our unchurched friends or our unchurched neighbors could attend, or if we couldn't create a church where we couldn't confidently every week invite them to say, hey, you got to come. I promise you, you got to come. If we couldn't create a church where we could confidently invite them, then it wasn't necessarily worth creating another church in the first place, because we didn't just need another church where church people gathered to sing the songs that they preferred and where they just gathered and used big words and prayed fancy prayers and did hand motions that really only they knew the meaning of, or where they organized and held events and programs that only they were interested in. We felt like, you know what, maybe there is a need for something different. We felt like if we were going to reach people that nobody was reaching, maybe we had to do things that nobody else was doing. If we were going to connect with people that nobody else was connecting with, maybe we had to do things that nobody else was doing. And so with God's help, that's what we set out to do, to create that kind of church. And in those very first few months, Erica and I, when we got this whole deal rolling, those very first few months when it was just me and Erica, we sat in coffee shops, we sat in restaurants, we sat in park pavilions and hailstorms, I kid you not, okay? We sat around and shared our hearts with people. We met with friends that we had in this area. We met with friends of friends. We met with friends of our friends' friends. We met with acquaintances of our friends and acquaintances of our friends' friends. We met with anybody who would listen to us share our heart for what we felt like this community needed. And little by little, a small group of people started to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm in for that. A small group of people started to form whose hearts all beat to create a different kind of church. And so that little group, we started to meet together, right? We started to meet together in our living rooms, in fact. And we sang and we prayed and we planned for the days that we would open the doors of this church for the first time. Right? We put all those plans into place. We then, as the days got near, we started to organize all the gear and all the stuff that we needed to do what we needed to do. We started to organize it out of my driveway and out of my front lawn, all in preparation for the days that these doors would open for the first time. And then in the fall of 2017, that little crew of people, we did open the doors of this church for the very first time, and we held three what we called preview services. Once a month, October, November, December, three services. And these were just little test runs, right? Little trial runs at doing this thing called church. And this was pretty exciting. Back in those days, even I was still, I was still leading the whole band and leading worship. And we were getting excited. We would spend, Thursday nights rehearsing in my kitchen, right? This whole setup was in my kitchen. And we were so excited to get this thing going. Okay, and all our friends and our family showed up for these first few preview services, and this room filled up with tons of people. And we thought we were pretty cool. Yeah, it's good. And then beginning on January 14th, 2018, we opened our doors to the community every single Sunday. January 14th, 2018, these doors were open every single Sunday. And all our friends and family and well-wishers from other places who came and supported us from other churches, who we knew that someday they would go back to those places, they all stopped coming, and then it was just us again. And little by little, 30 or so who called this place home, the 30 of us or so that called Mid-Current home, all of a sudden turned to 50. And then 50 turned to 75, and then 75 soon became even close to 100, and then Christmas Eve, and then Easter would roll around, and almost 200 people, and then the next Easter, almost 300 people would fill up this building. And then the people who really considered Mid-Current home, the people who really called this place home, grew to 125, and then sometimes even 150. And then on a random Sunday in August, just a couple weeks ago. A random Sunday in August, we had about 200 people total in this house. About 50 more, get this, it was about 50 more just a few weeks ago. About 50 more than when the summer first began in June, just 2 months before. In case you're new to the area, or in case you're new to church, okay, that's not supposed to happen around here, okay? Nobody told the pastors this, but apparently in this part of the country, you're not supposed to go to church in the summer, okay? Pastors, we learned this the hard way when you come up to the Midwest. Yeah, that sounds great, but nobody ever told you. People don't go to church in the summer, okay? And so the fact that this place was filling up with more people and more kids and more singing and more praying from June till August, the fact that this place was filling up was so fun. And it was so exciting that there were so many people filling this place. Let me just stop here for a moment, though, as we kind of look back at where we've been. I want to stop here for a moment and just kind of acknowledge something, right? Acknowledge something for those of you who are saying like, wow, okay, it just seems like all he cares about is like how big, you know, this church is. I mean, it seems like all he's doing is like talking about attendance and tracking numbers. Let me just say that's not all that I care about, okay? And the only reason that I care about numbers even just a little bit is because behind every single number that we count is the story of someone's life who's been impacted by what it is that's happening here. Behind every single number that we count and every single number that we track is the story of someone whose life has been impacted by what is happening here. It's stories like Dean Lowe's, okay? This is Dean, and this is Dean's truck. Pulling the float, our float, on the 4th of July parade this year. And you might think, okay, that's not really a big deal, right? Dude's pulling a truck. Like, what's the big deal about that? Why are you telling us this then? And it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal unless you heard his wife, Jenny, tell my wife that a year ago, she would have never believed, not in a million years, never believed that her husband would be pulling the church float in a parade. And yet there he is, hand out the window, waving at people as he's driving by. When I checked in with Dean this week to make sure, hey, Dean, you cool if I tell this story? Here's what he said back to me in a text message to me. He says, Sten, I'm an open book for Mid-Current and what you do. He said, it's changed me. And in order for people to change their life, they need to see that other people can change. And that's thanks to you and Mid-Current. If I retired today, I'd hang my hat right there on that story, and I'd just hand it over to Dean, because clearly he gets what's happening. Dean's is not the only story that I hear. I get other messages like this on Facebook. The main thing I want to share with you is just a thanks to you and Erica for listening to God and planting Mid-Current. Can't even begin to tell you how much this church has impacted our whole family. My husband loves, capital letters, loves coming to church on Sunday. He's telling others about Mid-Current. He listens to every message online when he can't be there. He looks forward to helping out on Sundays. He talks to me about your messages and how they apply to our life. Imagine that, a message in church that applies to your life. He has conversations with our kids about trusting God and wants to know what they learn. Sometimes, she writes, I feel in complete awe of what is happening to my husband. Thank you. I'll never be able to adequately express what Mid-Current has done for our family. Seriously, our family and lives have been so changed. Okay, then there's a message I got just a few weeks ago after a message that I gave this summer. That message was perfect. This person writes, for the first time in his life, my husband was asking some good questions when we got home, and I can see the wheels turning, and it's so exciting. Folks, these are some of the stories behind the numbers that we count. These are just some of them, right? There's others too. There's stories of the 15 families who brought 19 kids to be dedicated to the Lord this past spring. There's the 6 people who just got baptized this summer, some confirming a growing relationship that they've had with Jesus going through their whole life, and some taking this step of baptism following a recent decision of theirs to say yes to Jesus for the first time ever here at Mid-Current. Each number we count is the story of the lives that God has impacted in big, big ways that makes all of this worth it. And those stories and that excitement and that growth and that momentum brings us to a morning like this. Brings us to a morning like this when not even two years after a small little group of us opened up the doors for the first time, we have a group gathered like this today, gathered out on the front lawn, gathered in these seats here this morning with a bunch of kids downstairs too that make up like the size of most churches in America today, okay? Y'all need to stop having babies, okay? It's getting ridiculous. We're gonna have to switch spots with them soon, right? We'll be downstairs, the kids will be up here. Okay, I don't wanna go downstairs, okay? Joking about that, but it does lead me, okay? I'm just taking a moment to look back because all of this conversation does lead me to what I really do want to talk about today. This all is a great thing. All of us here, all our kids downstairs, this is a great thing. The growth that we have experienced is more than I could have ever imagined. And yes, it's given me a run for my money at times, but it's awesome. It's really awesome, and I could not be more grateful for what God is doing here. But truthfully, there is one big problem. There is one big problem when so many people gather in one place to get a glimpse of what Jesus is all about. There is, and there can be a downside to the whole thing. In fact, it's been a problem ever since Jesus started preaching, and ever since Jesus started teaching, and ever since Jesus started drawing a crowd 2,000 years ago. And so this morning, I want to look and I want to read about one of these moments when Jesus draws a crowd. I want to look at one of these moments that we can see sometimes why such a big crowd can be such a big problem. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the book of Mark chapter 2 to read a story that's told by a man named Mark, who lived and who walked on the earth when Jesus did. And he wrote about the things that he experienced. And so here's what he writes in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no room. No room, even outside of the door. No room inside, not even any room outside. Place was packed, right? Jesus always draws a crowd. And at first glance, you'd think, well, hey, this is a good thing. It's a full house, standing room only. Man, who doesn't want a crowd when they've got something they think that they want to share? Who doesn't want to draw a crowd when they think that they've got something that other people need to hear? I know I do. I mean, when you start a church, or you start a business, or send out invitations to something, you're not sending them out hoping that like only a few people respond. Right? So you'd think that this would be a good thing, right? Jesus is getting some butts in the seats. You'd think this is great. That is until you read what happens next. Here's the very next verse. But while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Now verse 4, get this. But they couldn't bring him to Jesus. Why? Because of the crowd. Let me read that again, okay? Just so we don't miss what's happening here. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They're bringing him to Jesus. They're bringing their buddy to Jesus because they have this sense that they believed inside of him that Jesus and only Jesus could heal him. And so they're carrying their buddy. Just imagine this, a grown man on a mat. They're carrying him to Jesus, believing that Jesus is the only one that can do for him what he needs. But they couldn't bring him to Jesus. Why? Because of the crowd. Folks, I love a big crowd, but I couldn't sleep at night if anything like this was ever written about Midcurrent. Couldn't sleep at night if the stories were written about us said, yeah, we heard great things about Midcurrent kids, but we couldn't check in our kids downstairs because of the crowd. Or, well, hey, yeah, we tried to bring our neighbors to Midcurrent. Or, yeah, we heard that they tried to bring their neighbors to Midcurrent, but there wasn't a seat for them and for their family because of the crowd. Couldn't sleep if those are the stories being told. Couldn't sleep if the stories that being told were saying, hey, there was once a man. He was so lost and so alone and full of fear and full of anxiety and full of doubt and anger, but he turned to God. And he walked through the doors of Midcurrent, but there was no space for him because of the crowd. I couldn't sleep if those are the kind of stories that were told about this place. Now, you might be thinking, come on, Stan, that would never happen. It's not going to happen here. Look, we've got plenty of space. We've got some empty seats even, Stan. No big deal. You might be right about some empty seats, but did you know that studies show that if a church is 80% full, if a church is 80% full, a visitor or a guest who walks in who very well might need to meet Jesus, a guest sees a space that's 100% full. If a guest walks in, studies show, and it's 80% full, They don't see a space for them. 80% full, and a visitor sees a room that's 100% full. No vacancy, no space, no room for them. Folks, we're about, in this little space of ours, we're about 80% full. And that's not like a huge number necessarily, but given our space and given what we're working with here, we're about at 80%. And Midcurrent Kids, they're like at 180%, okay? So they blew past the little 80% threshold on like day one. And that's a great problem to have, trust me. Of all the problems that I could have as a pastor in church, this is the one I would choose, right? It's a great problem to have. But it's a problem that does need a solution. It's a problem that does need a solution because like these four guys, buddy, I think there are some people in our lives. There's some people in our families. There's some people in our neighborhoods. There's some people in our offices who need to meet Jesus. There's some people in our lives who we're hoping and who we want to meet Jesus in some powerful ways. And we need to have room for them. We need to have a space for them here. When we say, we'll save you a seat, which I love saying, we'll save you a seat. When we say that, then we better have one for them. We better have a seat for every man, for every woman, for every child that walks in here. So here's a question. Here's what I want to kind of ask you this morning. Here's what this morning is really all about. What do you do? Here's the question. What do you do when there are people in your life that you want to meet Jesus? What do you do when there are people in your families, in your neighborhood, your offices, in your communities who you want to meet Jesus, who need to meet Jesus, but they can't because of the crowd? What do you do? Let's see the plan that these four buddies come up with to see if it's a plan that we can maybe follow. Let's go back, okay? They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof. They climbed up. They dug a hole through the roof above his head. And then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Jesus and Jesus alone is the one who can help that man. And he does right there in that moment. But it almost didn't happen. It almost couldn't happen because there was no room inside. They couldn't get their friend to Jesus. And so they went up on the roof and they cut a hole and they lowered their buddy down to Jesus, who healed him right then and there. Okay? You got to give these guys some love for their creativity, right? You got to give them some credit for their creativity here. But when it comes to our friends, when it comes to our neighbors, when it comes to the people who we know, when it comes to the people in our lives that we want to meet Jesus, their solution is unfortunately one that we cannot duplicate. Okay? We can't be cutting holes in any roofs. I don't think Camp St. Croix is going to be too happy if we're cutting holes in the roof. They don't even like when we put like tape on the wall, okay? So I don't think they're going to be cool with us cutting holes in the roof. But we do need a solution. And so that's why I'm excited to announce today, as we kind of kick off this new year together, that's why I'm excited to announce today that we're trying to come up with a solution. That's why I'm excited to announce today that starting on October 6th, we're going to take a stab at that kind of solution. And starting on October 6th, we're going to take a big new step to create more space here by offering two identical Sunday morning worship experiences here at Camp St. Croix at 9 a.m. and at 10:30. Why? Why would we do that? Why is that necessary? Because good things are happening here. Good things have been happening here, but we believe that we were made for way more. And when I look at a story like this of these four buddies and their friend, when I look at our situation, it starts to become clear to me that reaching more people oftentimes requires creating more space, right? Bringing more people to Jesus often requires creating more space. And when you boil it down, that's really what Midcurrent is all about, creating space for real people and a real God to meet in some real powerful ways. That's the one thing that my heart beats for most. That's not what every heart, you know, every church's heart beats for most. And so there might be a church that, you know, aligns with the way that your heart beats most. But this is the one thing that my heart beats most for, creating space for real people, not church people, not perfect people, not spiritual people, not just religious people, but real people. Creating space for real people and a real God to meet in really powerful ways. That's the business that we are in, right? God and God alone is in the business of changing hearts and changing lives. We're in the business of creating space. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm like a halfway decent communicator, maybe, but I cannot change hearts. I cannot change lives. That's what God does. God and God alone is the one that does that. God heals, God forgives, God saves. God's the one that makes us new again. We just make room in this place and in our own lives and our own families. We just make room for God to do what only God can do. Right? And the step that we believe that God is asking us to take to make more room and to create more space so we could reach more people is to offer a second service here on Sunday morning. The truth is, if by Christmas it's clear that this was the wrong move at the wrong time, then we'll regroup and we'll say Sten's an idiot and we'll, you know, chalk it up as an experiment and we'll go back to the drawing board. But in the meantime, we're going to make a move to create more space so that we might have the opportunity to reach more people. We might have the opportunity to bring more people to Jesus. Why? Because reaching more people with the good news of Jesus Christ requires creating more space. And so the truth is, as I just kind of start to wrap this up here, the truth is, I want to say this to all of us here this morning. We can't do this without you. Right? We can't create more space without you. We can't do it without those of you who call this place home, those of you who call Midcurrent home. We can't do it with those of you that are thinking, hey, maybe this place might be home for me. We need you to help us, to work with us, to partner with us to create more space and to create more opportunities for more people to come to know Jesus. So there's a few things that we need from you that I just want to very humbly ask of you today. Few things we need you to do. Number one, we need you to pray. That's the most important thing that we could do. We need you to pray, and we're asking that you would join us in praying. This is my one prayer all the time. We're asking that you would join us in praying that Midcurrent would be a place where real people and a real God meet in some really powerful ways. We're asking that you would pray that this might be a place that people who are not really open to church, that they don't have really interest in church, never had before, just been unsure, we're asking that you would pray with us that this might be a place that they are drawn to. Would you pray for your friends and pray for your family and pray for your neighbors and coworkers who do not know Jesus and pray that one of the seats that we are saving is a seat that one day they might be filling. Would you pray with us? Second thing I just humbly ask of you is this: we need you to give, right? Not just, you know, give to pay the rent and buy the coffee cups. No, we're asking you to give of the resources that God has given you to help create more space for more people to know Jesus. And so would you think about and talk about with your family or your spouse and pray about how the resources God has given you could help us create more space and more opportunities for more families to meet Jesus and more kids to meet Jesus and more teenagers to meet Jesus, who actually were real excited to be announcing some of the ways that we're going to be investing in teenagers for the first time as a church, right? And so we're asking you to partner with us in doing that. And one of the ways you can give too here is more specifically, the third thing that we're going to be asking you is we need you to serve. Right? If you're not serving here on a team on a Sunday morning, I'm just asking, would you think about joining one? If you serve once or twice a month, maybe would you think about serving two or three times a month? Because the truth is, adding a second service means that all of the teams that we have here on a Sunday morning, all the teams that are helping to create space, right? That's our first impressions team and greeting and coffee and the setup and the teardown team and the production team and all the crew who does what we do. It means all those teams are going to have to double. Okay? And you might think like, whoa, there's no way that's going to happen. We got to double the whole team. No way. Well, I actually think that it can happen, and I actually think that, it will happen a lot more easy than you might think. When? I think it's going to be a lot easier to get people to say, hey, yeah, count me in, when you have the opportunity to sit in one service and to serve at the other. And that's an invitation that we're going to start to make to you. It's an invitation that you're going to hear us extend to you a lot more often in the coming weeks and in the coming months. A new request that we're going to make of you to sit one and to serve one. To sit one and serve one. To sit and fully participate in one worship experience and then to serve during the other. And when you sit one and you serve one, you no longer have to choose between participating in this thing that we call worship. You no longer have to choose between participating in that and joining in on the work that God is doing here, right? If you serve in Mid-Current Kids with the bazillions of kids down there, you no longer have to choose between investing and pouring into the next generation and investing and pouring into your own soul and your own spiritual life. Or if you're greeting or making coffee, you no longer have to try to catch the opening, you know, songs while keeping your head on a swivel to see if people are coming in through the back doors. If you're making coffee, you don't have to, you know, try to catch the opening set of music all while keeping an ear, you know, open for that horrible sound of air bubbles pumping out of an empty pot. You don't have to choose any longer. You can sit and fully participate in one service, one worship experience, and then you can fully give your attention to the mission that God has called all of us to in the other. And when you sit one and you serve one, okay, not only do you not have to choose between sitting and serving, but you don't have to miss out on anyone either. You don't have to miss out on you know anyone that might attend another service. You're just going to see them at a new time and from a new space. But it doesn't mean that it's the end of us, because the truth is that that's a real concern, right? Some of you, if you're honest, just a few seconds ago when you heard me say two services, your first reaction was like, aw, that's a bummer. Right? Because it's this feeling of like, oh no, it's the end of our church. It's the end of us. And I get that. And that's okay to be sad about that. But I'm hoping that any amount of sadness will be met with an equal or greater amount of excitement for the space that we're going to create and for the people that we're going to reach and for the stories that will continue being written and for the lives that will be changed here because of the space that we create. Doesn't have to be the end of us. It just means that it looks a little different and we see the people that we've grown to love at a new time and from a new space. But it's not the end, right? To me, even the slightest possibility of any of that happen, more stories being written, more lives being impacted, it makes it all worth it. Will it take some creativity on our part? Absolutely it will. Will it take some coordination on your part? To figure out who serves and who brings the kids and who stays and who brings the kids home? I'm sure it will. Is it going to take some sacrifice on all of our parts, right, in committing to pray, in committing to give, in committing to serve in order to create more space here to bring more people to Jesus? It absolutely will, right? But some of the greatest things often require some of the greatest sacrifices. So it absolutely will require all of that. But I really do believe that we were made for way more. And reaching more people will often require creating more space. And I want to have space here at Mid-Current for every single person in the greater St. Croix Valley area that needs to meet Jesus. And I hope you do too. So I'm hoping together that we would be praying for this, that we would be figuring out ways to give and to support and to serving this mission that God has called us to. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for what's happening here. God, just writing a message like this week is just a really incredible, fun trip down memory lane. God, and what we remember is that this church was honestly your idea long before it was our idea, long before it was my idea, God. And so we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the lives that are being impacted. God, we give you thanks for the lives that are being changed. We give you thanks for what's happening here, God. We give you thanks for your faithfulness to us. And we're asking that, God, that you would bring way more of it, because we really do believe that we were made for way more, God, that you called us and that you equipped us to do more than we ever thought was possible. And so, God, I'm just asking that you would help each person here know what it means to create space, God. And this is a deal that goes beyond the walls of our church. Would you help us to figure out what it looks like to live lives, to be a family, to be, you know, in a marriage that is constantly trying to find ways to create space, physical space or just emotional space? God, would you help us to figure out what it looks like in our lives and in this church to create space, to be people who are always trying to create space so that other people could come to know your son Jesus in powerful ways? So God, as we, you know, venture forward in the month here, as we plan for it and prep for it now, I pray that you would just encourage us, God. Give us courage, give us guidance, give us wisdom to pursue the things that I believe you have called us to. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your promises to us, for your faithfulness to us, and we are praying for more of it to continue in our lives, more of it to continue in this church, more of it to continue in our families, and God, more of your faithfulness, more of your grace, more of your goodness, and more of your mercy to exist here in the greater St. Croix Valley. We thank you, and we love you, God, and we carve out this morning to turn our attention to you and to give you thanks for it all. And we pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.